All right. Today is April 29th, 2024, and we are covering the most important stories in the world of Opportunity Zones.
We're talking about Opportunity Zones. We're talking about Opportunity Zones.
Jimmy, so much has happened this month in the world of OZs. You know, the commercial real estate transaction activity and some activity in the CRE market has slowed down a little bit, but there's still so much activity happening this month. And additionally, I want to announce that in today's episode, we have secured our first major corporate sponsor. Remember, heat happens. If you are thirsty for a refreshing lime-flavored soft drink that's low on calories but packed with flavor, check out the new Sprite Zero, zero sugar, cherry lime flavor. Now, sorry, I can't finish it, Jimmy. We don't have a corporate sponsor. I hate to break it to
you. That was pretty good. Well, we're taking applications, though. If you know of anybody who'd like to sponsor the show, let us know. Where's my Sprite Zero, though? That looks pretty tasty, Andy.
It is. You know, we're having a heat wave here. It's like summer just came up upon us all of a sudden here in Michigan. I wanted to start the show just with a little pun to rib you, Jimmy. But in all honesty, we do have a ton of news, including some big news from Novogradac. That's our lead story today. But I want to kick us off from this headline from Urban Catalyst. Jimmy, I know we're big fans of Urban Catalyst here on the show. They've sponsored several of our premier events, some of our OZ pitch days that have been very, very successful. Previously, tell us what this big news is from Urban Catalyst.
Yeah, big news story from big news publication, San Francisco YIMBY. Headline is pre-construction financing secured for Icon/Echo downtown San Jose. Again, just want to echo what Andy said. Many thanks to Urban Catalyst. They've been a huge supporter of me personally and Opportunity DB as a platform. And I don't know if we'd be here without them today. So it's great news to see them get their pre-construction financing in place. It's a $10.5 million loan that's going to go toward pre-construction of their two-tower proposal, Icon and Echo, right next to each other here in downtown San Jose, California. This was originally slated as a multifamily building and an office building, with the office downturn subsisting for many years now. They're converting plans for their office building into another multifamily building. So it's going to be two multifamily buildings, and it's in a great part of town, Andy. Also, some beautiful renderings here. This is the plot of land that they're going to put these buildings on. It's a half city block that they're taking over these three parcels here and combining it into that two building structure. By the way, just to give you a lay of the land here, this is City Hall right here, right in the heart of downtown San Jose. San Jose State University is just to the left of where this photo cuts off over here, a little bit south. And then this is the main drag, Santa Clara Street right here. Zoom World headquarters, Adobe World headquarters are like right at the top of this photo or just off the top of the photo. And then just a few minutes north, heading this way to the right, is the airport. So a great location for some multifamily buildings there right in downtown San Jose. So they're raising a lot of capital, a lot of it through our OZ Pitch Day event and elsewhere on our Opportunity DB platform, Andy. And congrats to Urban Catalyst for securing this $10.5 million pre-construction loan.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I wanted to mention, Jimmy, is, you know, this is a milestone. So congratulations to Urban Catalyst. But you know, they... First of all, they've already raised a substantial amount of equity. And I also think it's awesome to see them succeed and also pivot, you know, in real time to, you know, they've pivoted a little bit, but there's still that original vision in downtown San Jose that I have always pointed others to as a premier opportunity zone project. Like it's so tangible, so notable. I think, you know, Eric, when he shares the vision and when you look at the renderings, it's a big, bold project that I think the Opportunity Zone space overall really benefits from having like this kind of a prestige project to show off, right? Like it's not my project, but even so, just having some kind of stake in the Opportunity Zone space, I love these kind of splashy, prestigious projects. And again, I think that this financing, significant announcement, sure, but Urban Catalyst has already raised a tremendous amount of capital and has already done some tremendous things in the space. So this is just another step along the path. And a thank you to them also for supporting us and our media platform really over the past several years, because none of this, what we do, would be possible without our real sponsors, right? Not the Sprite Zero. That was a pun. Our real sponsors.
Absolutely, Andy.
So our next story, moving right along, Jimmy, in this case, I guess you and I kind of are the news, but this is news because OZ Insiders is our mastermind group, and we are planning an event in Chicago that is happening pretty soon. Everyone who is listening is invited to become a member of OZ Insiders and then join this private event. But Jimmy, before we go into the event, could you give us a little bit of background on OZ Insiders? Because there's still new people learning about what this is all the time.
Absolutely. I know I repeat myself on this podcast every month whenever we shoot it, but I know we always have new people coming into our fold, new audience. So for anyone who is unaware, OZ Insiders is our Opportunity Zone mastermind group. We offer to high-performing Opportunity Zone professionals and investors, anybody who wants to take their Opportunity Zone strategy to the next level, anyone who wants to stay in the know with respect to Opportunity Zones, and anybody who wants to network with other high-performing individuals within the Opportunity Zone industry, OZ Insiders is the group for you. I'll just kind of scroll through the webpage here for a moment. You can watch this video on your own time, but I spend a couple minutes explaining exactly what is involved with OZ Insiders. You can become an OZ Insiders member today by heading to ozinsiders.com. And some of what you're going to get when you join OZ Insiders is you'll get access to our Rolodex, our network of other high-performing Opportunity Zone professionals, executives, and investors. We have 50-plus members in the group now. We just hit a new milestone a couple weeks ago. So it's growing slowly but surely all the time. We have a monthly meeting and monthly masterclass taught by an Opportunity Zone expert that we know and like and trust and have been working with for a long time. We'll talk more about those masterclasses in a moment. And you also get access to the community, like-minded people who are part of that same Opportunity Zone industry that you're trying to advance your strategy on. Plus, we get together and we have fun. We do dinners and talks in person, and we get together at other adjacent events. And boy, I don't know how much longer we're going to be running this one for. I think we're running this one through at least most of May, Andy. If you join in the next few weeks, you'll also get a free bonus, which is the Opportunity Zones Blueprint. We had previously sold this as a standalone course for $997. It's now free for new OZ Insiders members. What this course is, it is a four-hour workshop that I instructed live a few weeks back. We recorded the whole thing, and now it's available for anyone who wants to join OZ Insiders. You can watch it on demand at your leisure, and I basically walk you through exactly what Opportunity Zones are, how you can invest in Opportunity Zones, and the different strategies for investing in Opportunity Zones, and some practical concerns with respect to generating a capital gain and filing your taxes. So that's a little bit about OZ Insiders. Andy, if you want to learn more about joining OZ Insiders, you can head to ozinsiders.com. And we look forward to hearing from you if you do join.
Absolutely. And by the way, if anyone has any questions or comments, please feel free to just ping us right here in the live stream. We're live on YouTube right now. In case you're listening to this after the fact, you can always
join us. We're live on YouTube. We're also live on LinkedIn, and we're live on X.com as well, Andy. So if you have any questions or comments for us at all about any of the topics during the course of the show, as Andy mentioned, yeah, please use that comment feature, whichever platform you're on. We'll see them come through, and we'll see if we can address them.
Absolutely. And Jimmy, to your point, we've had some new members join OZ Insiders lately. In some cases, they're investors who are new to Opportunity Zones even, and they learn about your platform. And then right away they join the group because they want a, you know, a shortcut to something. And then we're getting awesome feedback about it. So if you're interested, give it a try. You can always just try it for a month and then cancel if you decide you don't like it. But in the meantime, everyone who's in the group is invited to our upcoming event here in Chicago in just a couple weeks, Friday evening, Friday, May 17th. Jimmy and I are taking the members out to dinner, and as usual, we'll be, networking, talking business, talking Opportunity Zones, talking commercial real estate, private real estate, investing, All things tax advantage investing. Certainly, I think that's a passion among all members of the group, but we're also just catching up and enjoying a nice meal together, which is always fun. Jimmy, I know this is going to be one of your favorite events of the year. Is that right?
Well, Gibson's is my favorite restaurant in Chicago, so we're already off to a good start. This is one of my favorite things that we do through OZ Insiders. We had an OZ networking dinner here in Dallas almost 2 months ago now, at the beginning of March. And it was fantastic. That was our first in-person event of the year. We had 12 really high-performing, high-quality individuals attend that event. We're hoping to get a similar number to this event in Chicago. We already have a handful of commitments, but if you're already an OZ Insiders member and you want to come, just drop us a line. Let us know you're going to be there because we're trying to get a headcount for the restaurant. If you're not already an OZ Insiders member, this event is open to OZ Insiders members only, but you can learn more about joining OZ Insiders by heading to OZinsiders.com. And it's a fantastic restaurant, Andy. I mean, look at this waiter with all these steaks. We're going to be eating steaks like this guy's got carrying out on the plate there.
The tomahawk is just, it's a monster. I mean,
look at this thing, Andy. It's a tomahawk, you know?
Yeah.
What's not to like?
Jimmy, I'll tell you this. You know, you're a pretty fit guy. You know, you play hockey every Friday. You're in pretty good shape. But looking at you, I wouldn't know how much steak you can eat. I mean, you know, I'm there ordering like an 8 ounce fillet, and then you're next to me ordering the tomahawk. It's impressive. So I tip my cap to you and your appetite for good steak. And once again, that, you know, if you join the group, it is a premium group, but then dinner's on us, right? So it's, there's no charge or anything. As long as you're a member of OZ Insiders, it is our treat. Jimmy, some other news.
We're just to close that one out. We're looking forward to that one. Just to repeat the time and date, that's Friday, May 17th, 2024, 7 p.m., Gibson Steakhouse, right in the heart of Chicago, downtown Chicago. Go on, Andy.
Well, I was just going to say, on the note of our mastermind group, OZ Insiders, we also want to recap our previous masterclass. So that's now available on demand for our members. But we had Jill Homan come and give a presentation, a masterclass on due diligence in opportunity zone deals. And she, honestly, I mean, she is the authority, in my opinion, on this topic in the opportunity zone space. And it was just awesome to get her in front of our group. And she is so generous with her knowledge and so professional. It was awesome. So, I mean, honestly, if you're thinking about investing in OZs and you just want to get a crash course in due diligence, it's worth joining just to get access to this recording. But Jimmy, I know you were at the masterclass. Any tidbits you'd like to share? Any take homes?
Yeah, just this one recording probably makes at least 1 month of the OZ Insiders group worth it to join just to get the access to this one. As soon as you join OZ Insiders, you get access to all of our previous masterclasses taught by industry experts. Anyone who's worked with Jill Homan at Javelin 19 Investments and the folks at Pinnacle Partners, they're very fortunate to be able to work with her. Some takeaways from her masterclass. She does a masterful job of laying out the different options that an investor has when he or she does trigger a capital gain and decides to invest that gain into an opportunity zone. There's a few different choices you have with respect to where you can put your gain. She does a great job of breaking down those different choices. And then within each of those choices, you know, what are some things to look for within the deal itself, within the fee structure, and within, you know, who you're going to be ending up working with over the next 10 years. So a lot of great insights from Jill in that our masterclass that we did earlier this month on April 9th.
One take home for me, Jimmy, was that, you know, I think when a lot of limited partners hear due diligence or even financial advisors or family offices, you know, a lot of times, even that word sounds a little scary in the sense of, if I am not a subject matter expert, like with this particular asset type, like let's say it's multifamily or it's, you know, self-storage or whatever, how do I evaluate the underwriting? How do I evaluate the pro forma? And it just seems sort of scary and overwhelming. But what Jill did that I really appreciated, she broke it down and made it very approachable And my take home was like, look, 90% of this, or at least a huge portion of it, is something that anyone can do. And in fact, anyone should do, like basic questions that you don't need to be a CFA or rocket scientist to understand, right? To find out, how is the sponsor being paid? Do they have skin in the game? Do they have actual equity in the deal? You know, just those kinds of basic questions. So important. And so I just really appreciate how she broke it down and made it very approachable to anyone, regardless of their, you know, financial background, so to speak.
Absolutely, Andy. And then coming up next month and the next few months, did you want to go through our upcoming events?
Absolutely.
Quickly before we go to the next story? I think the next story is our lead story, by the way, about the home buying, the home building boom in Opportunity Zones. But Andy, tell us about some of our upcoming events we have.
Well, coming up on May 13th, Jimmy, you and Mike O'Mara will be leading a masterclass on connecting OZ sponsors, deals, and capital sources. And I honestly think this is a very popular topic. It's a topic that we get asked about all the time, that you get asked about all the time as the, you know, principal guy at Opportunity DB, which is in this space, a lot of times it's who you know, right? You might have a good deal, but you need a sponsor, or you might be a sponsor looking for a deal or looking for capital sources. A lot of times, Jimmy, you talk with capital sources who are looking to invest with a high quality sponsor. So there's all these different stakeholders in the world of Opportunity Zones. And a lot of the high quality people, Jimmy, are on your Rolodex, our Rolodex here at OZ Insiders. But, you know, how do you connect with the right people? How do you find the right person at the right time, depending on where you sit as a stakeholder?
Mike and I just did a prep call a couple hours ago on this, and he literally said just that. And he said, it's not how or what you know, it's who you know. It's who. It's all about the who. So we're going to be talking about who the different stakeholders are, where they live, how you can get in touch with them, and what they're looking for within the construct of an Opportunity Zone investment.
Absolutely. And then later in the summer, I mean, this is just a jam-packed schedule. We have a masterclass on financing OZ deals coming up with Brett Siglin. That's Monday, June 10th. We have a masterclass on OZ development joint ventures with Jerry Risen coming up in July, offering a QOF to RIAs and broker dealers. That's coming up in August. And then we have one on direct marketing best practices for OZ funds coming up in September. So this is really a jam-packed schedule this summer. And Jimmy, we're also in talks with a couple other really big names, high quality presenters who could be presenting to the group later in the summer.
Yeah, I want to get this. I want to get the rest of the year's schedule locked down over here in the next couple of months, Andy. So we got a few holes in the schedule at the very tail end of the year that we're going to get plugged up, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great, I mean, by the end of this year, we'll have had 12 of these this year. And I think all 12 will have been, gaze in my crystal ball, I think they're all going to be pretty instructional and pretty valuable for all of our members, past, present, and future.
Absolutely. Well, Jimmy, I think we've covered the schedule. I don't want to jump, you know, go too in depth on things happening later this year, because I want to cover the news that's happening right now in the past month in the world of Opportunity Zones. So this next headline is our lead story today. This is from Novogradac. And Jimmy, I think that the story here is this is like a true home building boom, and Novogradac has the data to back it up, how OZs are really in a material way contributing to just a massive amount of new homes in more than 200 American cities.
Yeah. First of all, anybody who doesn't know who Novogradac is, they are one of the foremost professional service organizations within the broader tax credits, accounting, and tax planning industry. And they have deep expertise in Opportunity Zones specifically. They have a rolling survey of close to 2,000 qualified opportunity funds that are active within the marketplace. And they get reporting from those qualified opportunity funds on a regular ongoing basis about how much capital they've raised to date, where they're deploying the capital, and into what sectors are they deploying the capital. Are they doing real estate? Are they doing business? And then within real estate, are they doing multifamily, office, industrial, retail? Where is all that money going? So they have pulled some new data just as of the end of March, and they released this data just at the end of last week. According to their survey of the qualified opportunity funds tracked by Novogradac, OZs have helped to finance more than 175,000 homes, which is incredible. It's hard to build homes in this country. A lot of the different jurisdictions in this country, there's a lot of NIMBYs. There's a lot of NIMBYism. There's a lot of regulation, right, Andy?
Yeah.
So for OZs to have helped finance 175,000 new homes, that's an incredible number. And it's across more than 200 American cities. And 164 of those cities have seen at least 100 housing units financed by Opportunity Zones. Andy, I'm going to turn to you in just a second for your color commentary on this. But one other thing to note is that this is only of the subset of funds that voluntarily report to this organization, Novogradac. And Novogradac has stated in the past that they think they're probably only capturing about 25%, maybe a third of the overall marketplace. So if you can extrapolate that, you know, accounting for the fact that they're not capturing every OZ fund and every OZ investment in the space, there might be 3 to 4 times this number. So I don't know, what's 4 times 175,000, Andy, real quick? That's about 700,000 homes, give or take.
You got it.
So, you know, that's pretty impressive if that's true. If my extrapolation is within the ballpark, that's a lot of new housing units that have been developed just within the past 4 or 5 years by Opportunity Zones. Andy, what do you say?
Well, it's a staggering number, and I don't think you need the precise number. To your point, Jimmy, it's in the ballpark. And with such a severe housing shortage in the United States, which has been, along with high interest rates, of course, and high inflation, but the shortage has been one of the primary drivers of housing price increases, driving the home affordability index so low that this is like a massive success story as far as I'm concerned. This is something.
It's an OZ home building boom, Andy.
Yeah, well, we need to be shouting it from the rooftops, right? Because this program should absolutely be reformed and extended by a bipartisan Congress. And it should be, that extension should be signed into law, whether it's President Biden or President Trump or President whoever else, Democrat or Republican. It absolutely should be reformed and extended because, you know, that kind of new home inventory is good for everyone. I don't care who you are or what your politics are, right? That is good for everyone. NIMBYism.
Yeah, Democrat, Republican, or whatever RFK Jr. decides to be in November, right?
Exactly. By the way, we got a comment from the live stream from Hamilton. He agrees. There's a lot more than just this number quoted by Novogradac. So it's hard, you know, I don't know that we'll ever have the precise number. But Hamilton, we agree that it's and Novogradac is transparent that, you know, they don't cover the whole universe. So it's a much higher number, and please everyone listening, you know, and other sponsors in the space, other media entities, this is the type of thing. It needs to almost be like a talking point that anytime we're bringing up, well, we'll talk about success stories. This should be a talking point, both this number from Novogradac as well as, Jimmy, maybe your estimate. I feel like that's also a good talking point to bring up. How many homes have been built, you know, within these opportunity zones, and how that is, you know, if you want to put it in a negative way, without these homes, how much more unaffordable would that home affordability index be, right? Or with them, it's obviously helping to, I like the more positive, you know, glass half full spin. With these homes, it's obviously helping the crisis. So I think this is huge, and it's great to just step back from the capital raising side of the OZ world for a minute, because and the transaction side, because in commercial real estate transaction activity has slowed down obviously quite a bit since a couple years ago. Capital raising has slowed down somewhat from a couple years ago significantly. But there's still a ton going on in our world of opportunity zones. Like if anything, it's like, You raise the capital. Okay, now the real work begins. Well, this is the real work.
Yeah, that's the fruition of all of the capital that was raised early on in the program. You can kind of see the slope of capital raising early on in the program was fairly steep before it's leveled off here in the past 18 months or so. But, you know, these 175,000 homes are built because of this huge influx of capital into this space over the last few years. And, you know, 175,000, again, I think it's probably closer to 700,000 when you account for the fact that they're only surveying a small portion of the total universe of opportunity zones. I did want to just draw our attention to the top 20 cities that they were able to break down. And these numbers aren't exact. They weren't able to source exactly where some of the homes are being built for various data collecting reasons. But, you know, Washington, D.C., Nashville, Austin, L.A., Charlotte, North Carolina, no surprises there. Those are some of the fastest growing cities for opportunity zone building. And then you can see the other cities on the list here as well. But just thousands and thousands of homes being built across these cities in different opportunity zones wouldn't be happening without opportunity zones, Andy.
Absolutely. And my sincere appreciation to Novogradac for collecting and freely publishing and sharing all of this data. And again, I think it needs to be a talking point. So maybe I'll make it a personal talking point, you know, as co-host of this program. But I think it's something that we just can't repeat enough. How much, you know, because OZ is at the end of the day, it's a tax policy, right? And so it's a financial incentive. It's a tax incentive, sure. But it's supposed to incentivize development that benefits society as a whole, right, Jimmy? And I think that this kind of data is just, it's a huge success story for opportunity.
Exactly right, Andy. We got to challenge the policymakers in Washington. Do they want more homes to be built or do they not want more homes to be built? Do they want opportunity zones to get extended and this is the fruits of opportunity zones, or maybe they let it expire? That would be a shame. And I did also want to thank Hamilton Don Mello one more time. Thanks for the comment, Hamilton. I agree. There's a lot more. If you have any comments, submit them. Don't be shy. Submit your comment via X or LinkedIn or YouTube, wherever you're watching today, and we'll read it on air if it's readable, if it's suitable for reading.
Okay, we're here to chat. That's what we're here for. That's why we're live streaming it, right? We want the interaction. Speaking of success stories, because I think that was a success story, obviously, that Novogradac pointed out. We have a success story for our next story. This is from Driftwood Capital, who has announced a time frame for their transformative Riverside Wharf. And Jimmy, I should mention this story came to us via Jill Holman's wonderful Opportunity Zone Outlook newsletter. What are the details here? Give us the headline here from this story.
This truly is a transformative project. This is a huge development in Miami. So let me just kind of read the lead to you here. Let's see.
I love Miami. Oh,
here we go. Groundbreaking for Riverside Wharf is now expected in the latter half of 2024. So before the end of this year, they'll actually move some dirt around. It's a $267 million development. It's going to feature a dream hotel in Miami. I'll show you where in a minute. And in addition to it being able to take on opportunity zone capital because it's located in an opportunity zone, they're also sourcing EB-5 capital, which oftentimes can overlap with opportunity zones. So it's kind of double dipping into these two different unique tax program. Let's see, what else can I say about it here? Let's just look at some of the pictures for a minute, because it really is a beautiful property right on the river in Miami. It's going to be an entertainment venue, conference center, hotel. Let's scroll down here. Here's the location of it. This is what I wanted to get to. This is the bottom of it right here. So the Wharf Miami says permanently closed because they're transforming it into the renderings we just saw right there. But here's the Brickell area of Miami right here. So it's just a little bit adjacent to that, just a little bit west of I-95. And right on the river here, these are where the bulk of the opportunity zones in Miami are. They're not oceanfront, but they're riverfront, at least in this case. Special shout out to Driftwood Capital for helping put this together. And Driftwood, by the way, was one of our sponsors on our OZ Pitch Day event back in March. If you ever want to take a look at any of our OZ Pitch Day offerings where we showcase a lot of different deals like this one, you can head to OZ Pitch Day Driftwood.com to learn more about that event. But here they are. Here's the Driftwood Capital Riverside Wharf Miami QOZ development. Carlos Rodriguez Jr. presented that investment opportunity to our audience. I think we were basically the first place he announced it outside of their inner circle, their inner network. We were the first platform where they announced it to the broader world. So congrats to Carlos and his team at Driftwood for moving forward with that development project. Transformative hospitality and entertainment complex in the heart of downtown Miami. It's going to include an upscale lifestyle dream hotel, French bistro, rooftop pool, and lobby bar. So really cool project there that's going to revitalize the economy in that neighborhood, Andy.
Yeah, you know, first of all, congratulations to Driftwood Capital. I mean, this is a huge development. It's another big, bold project. Like we were talking about Urban Catalyst earlier. This is the kind of big, bold, visionary project that I love. And you know, I love that the venture was launched publicly at Pitch Day. That was pretty cool. And also just a shout out to Miami. You know, Jimmy, earlier today, you and I were talking about an event that we're planning possibly for next year. And we were talking about different locations. Yeah, there's always a couple of obvious locations like New York City or Las Vegas. And I love both those towns. But then I was like, well, what about Miami? And we're both like, yes, I love Miami. You love Miami.
We like the beach. We like the Cuban food. I mean, what's not to like about Miami?
It's a great town. It really is. It's a great town. So shout out to Miami. That's an awesome project. Congratulations to everyone involved. And we'll continue to check in on its progress throughout the next many episodes, next several episodes of this show. On to our next story, Jimmy. Again, we've mentioned Jill Hillman a couple times this episode, but she's making waves. She's making news in our little Opportunity Zone world because she wrote this article, co-wrote, I should say, in the Journal of Tax Credit about how to relocate an existing business into an opportunity zone, which I think is a fantastic topic because so much of what we talk about in OZs, it's almost implied that everything is real estate. But no, right? There's plenty of operating businesses that are leveraging the opportunity zone's tax incentive. So tell us about the information in this article.
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is from the Journal of Tax Credits, as you rightly point out, Andy, and it's produced or published, I should say, by Novogradac, the firm we mentioned earlier, who collects the survey. This is their opportunity zones issue. They have an opportunity zones issue every year. So this is an excerpt from that issue. I love the title of this article. I can picture in my head Jay Darby like reading this title with his iconic voice, if I can say that. I like Jay Darby's voice. Whenever I pick up the phone, it's an unknown number, and I hear it's Jay Darby. I instantly know. Oh, that's got to be Jay Darby talking to me. Anyways. I've got his number saved in my phone now, but the first few times I talked to him, I'm like, oh, this is Jay. This is great. Moving and grooving, how to relocate an existing business into an opportunity zone. So Andy, you're right. Like most people, they hear opportunity zones and they think, oh, it's real estate. It's multifamily, retail, office, residential, industrial, self-storage, that type of stuff. We love that stuff. We love all that stuff. We love building real estate in opportunity zones. We love adaptive reuse, taking existing buildings and transforming them into new uses within opportunity zones, ground up development within opportunity zones. I love it. That's like 90% of opportunity zones. Now, the rest of the opportunity zone investment, let's call it like 10% roughly, I'm kind of ballparking here, but I think that's in the ballpark at least, is operating business investment. And typically when you think of operating business investment, you're thinking of VC stuff, startups, or maybe a Series A or Series B or Series C funding round for an existing business that's in revenue, that's already located in opportunity zone, and they just need a little more capital injection to boost their business a little bit. And so they're taking on new investors. But what I don't really hear all that much about is an existing business that's located outside of an opportunity zone. They want to move into an opportunity zone, maybe for a variety of reasons, but one huge reason is tax-free exit 10 years down the road. So if you have an existing business and you're thinking about an exit, maybe not anytime too soon, but maybe, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, maybe you're thinking, maybe I retire, maybe I exit, maybe I sell my business. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to do that tax-free? Well, this kind of outlines a way to do that, Andy. So it kind of goes, I won't read the whole article We'll link to it in the show notes for today's episode, which will be available on opportunitydb.com/podcast. But, you know, it talks about, first of all, just the practical matter of structuring the OZ business, how to wrap the OZ business within a QOF, the three key requirements for an opportunity zone business. One, at least 70% of its tangible assets have to be physically located within an opportunity zone. Then number two, there's an income test, which I won't go through because it would take 20 minutes to go through that. And then three, it can't be a business that's described as a sin business in the tax code. So that excludes golf courses, liquor store, spa, massage parlors, something like that. There's a couple other funky.
And they're they're totally random and nonsense.
They're like totally random and you wouldn't guess what they are. As one of my guests on a podcast that I just shot a couple weeks ago, a gentleman's club would actually be fine. That's not a sin business. That episode's going live in a couple of weeks. Not that I recommend that, but I just to highlight that the list is kind of random and the
term absurd. Yeah, it's absurd.
It's kind of clunky. Yeah. Anyways, kind of scrolling down here. There was one more point I wanted to make here. Wanted to highlight. Let's see. Oh, here we go. The five tests. So there's basically these five tests of a qualified OZ business status that Jay and Jill go through here. Anyways, highly recommended reading here. If you're considering having an existing business get moved into an opportunity zone for these purposes, there's a lot of, there's a few hoops you have to jump through, a few boxes you have to tick, but it could be a great option for a business owner in the right situation. So we'll link to this from our show notes page when we get this episode up on our website. Andy, any additional thoughts there?
Well, you know, as a business owner, and I can sympathize or empathize with a lot of business owners who may be listening to this and thinking, well, that's all well and good, you know, not paying capital gains tax if I ever exit my business or sell my business years down the line. But isn't there a lot of complexity involved in doing this? Well, two things. Number one, yeah, there's a little complexity. There's some complexity, but maybe not as much as you think, right? I don't know that it's too onerous. But secondly, depending on the size of your business and the multiple that it, you know, might receive upon disposition, upon exit, I don't think capital gains taxes are likely to go much lower. I think the probability that they might go significantly higher, I think there's more probability of that, you know, depending on the political climate in the country and where.
Yeah, honestly, they were only like 15% like 10 or 15 years ago, and now they're 23.8, and I don't think they're going down. I think you're right,
yeah,
Andy.
Exactly. So I think increasingly business owners would be well served into looking at like strategies as this or other ones, because, you know, like it or not, tax mitigation is a must, I would say, at this point for a high net worth business owner. And with that, that brings us.
You know what? It reminds me of what our good friend and colleague Michael Johnston always says. It's not about how much you make. It's about how much you keep after taxes, right?
So absolutely. So you've spent generations building up the family business to sell it and then give 45% to Uncle or whatever to Uncle Sam, right? It's a little painful, but with
Uncle Sam and Cousin California and whoever else has their hand out, right?
Right. So use a little bit of advanced planning. Definitely check out this article and at least think about it. Jimmy, we're almost out of time, but before we go, what is your pick of the month? What are you reading, watching, or listening to in the world of opportunity zones that you would recommend to our audience?
Man, my pick of the month, I got to shout out to fellow OZ Insiders member Blake Christian, a CPA at accounting firm HCVT. He wrote this article for Business Facilities Magazine. The headline of the article is Military Communities Serve as Opportunity Zones for Nearby Cities. Blake points out that our nation's defense industrial base is aging, and that the National Defense Industrial Strategy just recently offered a strategic vision for modernizing that industrial ecosystem. And it calls for a lot of great stuff about what they need to do to modernize it. But Blake points out, well, wait a second, this Opportunity Zones program already exists as part of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and maybe it can be leveraged to help build up some of our defense contractors, communities, and well, let me just read what Al Pachula of Cap Zone Impact Investments has to say. He says, defense contractors can build facilities with their own corporate tax gains, therefore receiving the tax benefits, or they can partner with financial investors that utilize their gains for constructing and operating the facilities to specification. And then one other thing I'll point out, Andy, is that there are 180 military bases that are either located directly in or directly adjacent to qualified opportunity zones. So there's a lot of areas where military bases have families living in it, have armed forces personnel living at it or nearby it, and they need support, right? They need housing, they need retail and all the other types of supports that any community would have. And, you know, opportunity zones can be leveraged as a mechanism to help build up some of these military base communities is the main point of this article here. So thank you to Blake Christian for writing this article. And I picked up this article from, I believe it was from Google News. I have an alert set to ping me anytime there's any opportunity zone related article that gets published. And when I saw Blake Christian's name attached to this one, I knew I had to read it and share it on today's podcast episode. So a little tip of the cap to Blake. That's my pick of the month, Andy.
I love your pick of the month. And it's, Jimmy, I think the theme of this month is creative thinking, right? Like that is creative thinking. Yeah, I love that article. That's creative thinking. The previous article by Jill Homan, and that, you know, that is creative thinking, you know, for business owners, for entrepreneurs. And my pick of the month, featuring Axel Adler and yourself, Jimmy, pre-TCO double net leasing in opportunity zones, this podcast episode you did. To me, this was so creative. Like, I loved this. Like, I heard about it, I was hooked. The thing I really love about this strategy is it takes something triple net, you know, investing that I think a lot of investors already understand and are comfortable with in terms of commercial real estate investing. And it sort of borrows the concept and tweaks it just a tiny little bit so that it is valid or legal for an OZ investment. And Jimmy, I guess, you know, I think I'll screw it up if I try and convey exactly what the requirements are. Could you give us just the gist on how a normal triple net investment would qualify as an opportunity investment? Opportunity zone investment.
Yeah, absolutely. So a triple net investment is, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a type of leasing investment to a retail establishment. Think of a Dollar General or a Starbucks or a Walgreens or 7-Eleven, where the lease is net of property taxes, net of insurance, and net of maintenance. Those are the three nets in triple net. So there's really not a lot for the landlord or the investor in the property to do. So according to the IRS, they came out with final regs in 2019, and they said a triple net lease doesn't rise to the level of an active trade or business, which is one of the requirements for any eligible opportunity zone investment, which is unfortunate because it's a common type of investment and it can spur economic activity in a community. But anyways, the IRS had their say and they said no triple net leasing. So what Axel and his team at Centennial Advisors have done is they've said, okay, well, let's do double net leasing instead, because we believe that if the landlord is in charge of maintenance and we just net out property taxes and insurance as the renegotiated double net lease for the tenant, his clients are still taking care of the maintenance. That's enough active work on behalf of the investor or his client that it would rise to the level of an active trade or business in their view. And I don't
and tell it, and Jimmy, just to speak up from the peanut gallery over here, you know, I think that's true, right? In the sense that a lot of triple net investors are looking for like an absolute triple net lease where it's like, I just want mailbox money. I want to work.
Yeah.
I want to do like 60 minutes a year of paperwork for this investment and that's it. But by the time you're handling maintenance, I think a lot of people will be like, whoa, that sounds like a real headache, right? So that like it becomes an operating business at that point.
Right.
If you're handling that as a land, like a true operating business. And I know that that's legit because I know that a lot of triple net investors would be like, I'm out. I only want triple net, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why it's such a common strategy, particularly among real estate investors who have maybe have had 10, 20 or more years in actively managing individual properties. They're sick of it. They just want a 1031 into a triple net lease type of arrangement and not think about it anymore. So what Axel and his team does is they find those properties that are nearing construction completion. Oftentimes they'll already have a tenant lined up or pre-leased, and all he has to do is renegotiate the lease from a triple net to a double net, which is typically pretty easy because the lesser, the Starbucks, let's say, or the Walgreens, you go to them and you say, actually, we want to handle the maintenance. They're like, okay, sure. So they're fine with it. And then it rises.
Not every tenant, but certainly quite a few.
Quite a few. Yeah. The success rate, according to him, is pretty high. So anyways, it's cool, pretty cool strategy, creative thinking, outside the box type of opportunity zone strategy, Andy. And I mean, I don't want to give away the whole podcast episode, so go check it out. It's on our website, opportunitydb.com/podcast. You can listen to the episode I just did with Axel Adler just last week.
Absolutely. And again, I just love the creativity. I love that it's 2024, how many years we are into the OZ program, Jimmy. And every month I'm learning something new. I'm seeing new strategies. We're seeing new success stories. So really just it's awesome to be part of an industry, or I should say a sector or industry within an industry, where so much is going on and so many creative entrepreneurs are making things happen. And it makes it fun. Makes it fun to cover it in the show. And Jimmy, I think that's it for today's show. We'll be back in another month with our next edition of OZ News Hour. Thank you for watching and listening. And Jimmy, thank you for joining me today. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Andy. We'll do it again sometime real soon, all right?
Sounds great.
We're talking about opportunity zones. We're talking about opportunity zones.